51. Crow drove over to Marshport and sat outside Blair Richmond's hospital room. He wasn't sure why. He'd spent only a few minutes with the girl. Felt like she was scared of him the whole time he was with her that day. He'd done plenty of gun work himself in his life, though never once shooting a woman. He'd killed plenty of men. But who put a gun to the head of a kid like this and fired? He knew who. Richie Carr. But who hired somebody to do shit like that? Crow was still sitting there when he knew he'd gone past visiting hours. None of the nurses had told him to leave. He scared them, too, he knew. The girl's sister had long since been out of the room. Crow had stayed in the waiting room, down the hall, until she left. He didn't want to talk to her, tell her how sorry he was, have to explain who he was, why he was here. He got out of the chair one of the nurses had brought for him and walked to the door and stared through the window at Blair Richmond, who looked like a little girl asleep in her bed, made smaller by the monitors and machines she was attached to. Stone had asked the question, what about her had gotten to him this way? He had always prided himself on never getting attached or involved, letting his emotions get in the way of things he needed to get done. Somehow, though, this girl had gotten to him. Now he was like Stone. He had to know who had hired Richie Carr to shoot Blair Richmond and then end up shooting Molly Crane. He knew Molly could take care of herself. Damn, damn, God damn, she was tough. What Stone, the old ball player, called a tough out. It was different with this kid. All she'd wanted to do was protect some ocean land. Only nobody had protected her, and maybe her boyfriend, too, from a cockroach-like Carr. Crow turned and walked down the hallway and got into the elevator and got into the rental car and drove back to Paradise and then over the bridge to Stiles Island, one he had helped blow up once without giving it a second thought, and all the way to Billy Singer's rented house. Maybe Richie Carr was with Billy Singer, too, even though he already had Santo and Baldelli on the payroll. Or maybe Carr was with Barone or Lawton. Still no way to know for sure. He still hadn't forgotten that somebody had punched Molly Crane in the face. Crow was suddenly tired of just letting the game come to him and Stone. That was something he was sure about. As he pulled up on the street in front of Singer's house, he saw Santo and Baldelli on the front porch, both of them in rocking chairs, either side of the door, feet up on the railing. They both stood up when they saw Crow casually come up on the walk and up the steps. "Relax," he said. "Billy's expecting me." "I'll go check on that if it's just the same with you," Santo said. Crow had his gun stuffed into the back pocket of his jeans. He took it out and swung it hard across the side of Santo's face, and then again as he was going down. Before Baldelli could clear his gun, Crow turned and pointed his at his face. "Shh," he said, raising his free hand and putting a finger to his lips. He told Baldelli to put his gun on the ground. He did. Santo was still conscious, but barely. He was bleeding from the head. Crow motioned Baldelli down the steps as he grabbed Santo by the front of his shirt and dragged him down the steps as they all walked to where the car was parked. Crow reached into a front pocket and pulled out his key fob and popped the trunk. "Help him in," Crow said to Baldelli. "Fuck you," Baldelli said. Crow effortlessly swung the gun and this time caught Baldelli on the side of the head. And now he went down in the street. He lifted Santo into the trunk first, then pulled up Baldelli and shoved him in next. It was a big enough trunk for both of them, Crow knew, for all the bitching they were both doing. Crow figured he would have to pay extra for the blood on the carpet when he turned it in.
"You gonna just leave us in here?" Santo said. "I could bleed out."
Okay, Crow said. Crow went back up the walk and through the front door. That show Shark Tank with the guy who owned the Dallas Mavericks was on the flat-screen television. Singer came out of the kitchen with a drink in his hand. Johnny Walker Blue for him, too, as Crow remembered. When he looked up at Crow, he said, What the hell? You need to think about better security, Billy, Crow said. Then Crow put his gun away and was across the room and grabbing Singer by the front of his shirt and throwing him up against the wall near the television, the glass falling onto the marble floor and shattering. Did you hire Richie Carr? Crow said, his face close enough to Singer's to smell the scotch on his breath.
Who's Richie Carr? Singer said, choking out the words.
Crow pulled him off the wall and then slammed him back into it. He's the guy who shot that girl in the head last night, Crow said, and shot Stone's deputy.
I swear to God, Crow, I got nothing to do with any of that, he said. But like I had nothing to do with those break-ins, whether you believe me or not, now let me go.
After we come to an understanding, Crow said.
About what?
About how, if you call the cops on me after I leave, I'll come back for you. Even if you've got an army outside, Crow said. Understood?
Understood, Singer said.
He looked very old all of a sudden, Crow thought. Singer said,
How come you're not rousting Barone?
You're the only one I know of that brought in some hitters, Crow said.
Doesn't mean he didn't, for Christ's sakes, Singer said.
He was still struggling for breath. Barone's my next stop, Crow said.
Now will you let me go? Singer said.
Crow grabbed the shirt more firmly, lifting Singer slightly off the ground, getting his face even closer. I find out you lied to me, and you had something to do with that girl, Crow said. I'll kill you.
You got this wrong, Crow. Trust me.
He didn't look desperate to Crow now. Just defeated.
Something got out of hand here, Singer said. But I swear to God, I got nothing to do with people dying.
He let go of him then, watched Singer slide down the wall until he was sitting on the floor. Crow went back outside, collected their guns, tossed them in the front seat of his car. Then he popped the trunk again and told them to get out. They did, cursing him all the way, their faces still covered with blood. Santo said they were going to call the cops. Crow said he might think about checking that with his boss first. He watched them walk back toward the house, looking over their shoulders at him every few yards. Some nights in paradise were less boring than others, Crow thought.